Today's Shiur B'Sechet Shabbos Daf Hey. We will begin on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, 8 lines from the top. El Amar Rav Zeira. We began in our previous Shiur a discussion that our Mishnah clearly indicates that one could do an akira or a hanocha from an area which is not does not have the area of Dalat Tfachim or Dalat Tfachim. And the question was, who is the man d'Amar that holds that way? Begins the Gemara El Amar Rav Zeira. Who is the man d'amar that feels that you don't have to have a dalad adalad? Hamani acherim. It represents the opinion of the acherim. The tanya acherim oimrim. Omad b'mekoymai. If somebody is standing and somebody else threw an object from to him that was dalad amas away in the rishus rabbim, the kibel, and he caught that object, chayiv. The person who threw the object is chayiv because he caused something to travel dal ams rishus rabbim. However, akamim koimoi, if the person who catches the item runs towards that item, the kibel, and he caught it, potter. Because the hanocha was not done because of the zoyrik. And as we keep on learning in our mesechta, to be chayiv for hoitzah, or actually the same for carrying Dalat Amos and Shus Rabim, you have to have a situation where it was an Akira and the Hanocha. Says Rashi that over here the Akira wasn't because of the person, the Akira was because of the person who threw it, but the Hanocha wasn't because of the person who threw it. The Hanocha was caused by the person who caught it, and therefore it's not considered as if he did a full-fledged Melacha. The Rambam seems to take a different approach. The Rambam's approach is because the Hanocha was supposed to be in a certain area and it ended up being somewhere else from where the thrower had intended that it should be. And therefore, it's only, and therefore holds the Gemara, it's only considered a situation of a kira of a Hanocha if the Hanocha was where I wanted it to be. But if the Hanocha was not where I wanted it to be, so it's not considered that I did the Hanocha. The Sfas Emes discusses what will be the Halacha if the person who caught it did not move out of his space to catch it. But he caught it because he caught it, not that it just fell into his hands. What will be the halacha then? That is that going to be considered a situation where a thrower is chayiv or not? So he wants to suggest that the person who threw the item will still be chayiv, because will still be potter. Because again, it was that kira hanocha did not happen only because of the person who threw it. And since it didn't happen just because the person who threw it, that should be enough of a reason that he should be potter. An argument, however, can be made differently. The reason an argument can be made differently is what, going according to the Rambam that we just quoted. Because the Rambam says the reason you're not chayiv is because the hanocha wasn't where you wanted the hanocha to take place. But here the hanocha was where you wanted to take place. It's just that he helped by stretching out his arms. And maybe according to the Rambam, you would be chayiv. Another question that I saw that Avni Ezer asks. We know that the halacha is if somebody does bishul on Shabbos, he's chayiv. It's a melacha deraisa. What would be the halacha if somebody put something, a pot on the fire on Shabbos? And then somebody else came and stirred that pot. So he helped that food get cooked quicker. So the halacha is that the person who put the pot in the fire is anyway chayiv. So why over here, just because the person helped me by catching the item, is it not considered that he's chayiv? So answers the Avni Nezer. There's a difference over there where the person who stirs the pot didn't do a ma'isa bishul. The person who put the pot on the fire does a full-fledged ma'isa bishul. The other person only helped him along. So since the other person only helped him along, that doesn't have the ability to take away that he's chayiv for bishul. Where else, where the hanocha was not done because of me, and as we keep on learning, this Masechta points out the Avni Nezer, that the hanocha, of course the Akira as well, is an integral part of the malacha, and without a hanocha you don't have malachas haitzah. And if I, the thrower who did the Akira, did not do the hanocha, somebody else did the hanocha, so then that means I didn't do the malacha haitzah. And therefore, if I didn't do the malacha haitzah, I'm not chayiv for that malacha. Says the Gemara, Amar hamakabel, Amar b'mekayim v'kibel chayiv. But we learned that if the person who caught that object just stood there and it fell into his hands, then the person who threw it is chayiv. But ask the Gemara, why would he be chayiv? Habinan hanoch al gabem mokum arba. Don't you require that there should be a hanoch on a place that's dalit al dalit? And his hand, veleka. And that isn't the case when he just caught it in his hands. What do we see from here? El shmami no. The loibinan mokum arba. We have here clearly a manda omer that you don't have to have a dalit al dalit. Vidilma, ask the Gemara a question that we discussed in our previous year. Yes, we have now a proof that you don't need to have a hanocha on a place that's dalit al dalit. Hanocha hu d'loy binin. Maybe you don't have to have a hanocha on a place that's dalit al dalit. But ha'akira binin, as we learned, since the akira is what begins the malacha, so since the akira is what begins the malacha, that's when you need to have a more significant act. And it has to be from a place that's dalit al dalit. Furthermore, says the Gemara, v'anochi nami, even the case that we're speaking about the hanocha, where we're assuming that it wasn't on a place that's dalit al dalit, Dilma, this case that we began the shiur with today is talking about a situation, the poshut kanafei v'kibla, where the person who caught the item spread out his cape, which is a dalit al dalit, and that's how he caught it, and that's why you had a hanocha on a place that's dalit al dalit. But we don't have a raya dikanami hanocha, so there was a raya. So there was a dalit al dalit. Who says that even if there wasn't a dalit al dalit, it would be considered a valid hanocha? Amar Baba. So now we're back to where we started. Why in our Mishnah is the Akira or the Hanocha that's not on a place that's Dalit al Dalit considered a valid Akira Hanocha, which we just explained are the most important elements of the Malachas HaTzah? Abba, Rab Abba. So says Rab Abba, we have to understand that Masnisen is talking about Kishaka Mitraskal. The person who took the item, took it out of a basket, or the person who did the hanocha, put it into a traskel, into a basket, and therefore, ikanami hanocha. So now you have a proper akir of a hanocha from a place that's dalit al dalit. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that's pshat in the Mishnah? V'tshiyotik tani, the Mishnah clearly indicated that the akir of a hanocha took place from the hand, or to the hand, not to the basket, answers the Gemara. Tani traskel shbiyodai. The way we understand the trask, the way we need to understand the Mishnah is that he was holding a basket, whether it was the Oni or the Balabayas, they were holding a basket in their hands. Ask the Gemara, hotenach traskel shbirushas hayochid. So we could understand that if somebody's standing in the Rishus HaYochid and he's holding a traskel, that's considered like it's a Rishus HaYochid. But ask the Gemara, El Traskosh Rishus Rabim, the Oni who's standing in the Rishus Rabim, with the way we're learning now, holding a basket, Rishus HaYochid he. That Trasko becomes Rishus HaYochid. So why would it be considered that there was an Akira from or Hanocha to a Rishus Rabim when you put it into the Trasko, which is in the Rishus Rabim? Should we say, Lema the Leiker of Yosef Yehuda? Should we say that our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? The Tanya Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, not Kana B'Rishus HaRabim. If somebody put a pole in the ground of the Rishus HaRabim, or B'Rosh HaTraskel, and on top of this pole, there's this basket, Zorak Anoch Al Gabov, and somebody threw something from the Rishus HaRabim, and it landed into that Traskel, he's Chayiv. It's considered as if it landed into a Rishus HaYochid. And the reason is, because even though this traskel is sitting on top of a pole, a thin pole, we look at the traskel, we have a halacha concept, says Rashi, of good oches mechitza, that the walls of the traskel come down all the way, and as if there's one wide pillar now in the Rishus HaRabim that has all the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid. So the question is, isn't that so? Why are we saying in our Mishnah that if you deposited something into the basket that the Oni is holding in the Rishus HaRabim, it's as if you deposited something in the Rishus HaRabim? The way we're learning now, it should be considered as if you deposited something in a Rishus HaYochid. Dikra B'Yosi, because if we're going to want to say that our Mishnah should follow the opinion of Yosef Yehuda, Pasha Baal Bayis Yad Al Chutz, when the Baal Bayis stuck out his hand, and he put something into the hand of the Oni, which we're saying now means you put it into the basket in the Oni's hand. And my chayif, isn't this a situation of Rishus HaYochid? Rishus HaYochid. He's starting in Rishus HaYochid, and he's depositing it in Rishus HaYochid. And the halach is that when something goes from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid, Kamapik, you're not chayif for full-fledged melacha of Haitzah. Answers the Gemara, I feel time Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. That isn't a question. Because when did Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say that the basket on top of the pole obtains the status of Rishus HaYochid? Hosom l'mal ma'asara. When the basket is on top of a pole, which is above 10 tefachim from the ground. Hocha, but in order, in our Mishnah, it's l'mata ma'asara. It's less than 10 tefachim from the ground. And since they're not 10 tefachim from the ground, it's not considered a Rishus HaYochid. And becomes subordinate, says Tosfos, to the Rishus HaRabim around it. So, ask the Rishonim, so why do I quickly call it a Rishus HaRabim? Maybe we should call it a Carmelis. So Rishonim answer that there's a halacha. Ain't Carmelis b'kelim. There's no such a thing that a keli can become a Carmelis. So to want to give this traskel the status of a Carmelis, that isn't halachically acceptable. But the Gemara goes back to the beginning of this question, of this answer, actually. We wanted to explain that our Mishnah is not speaking about the hand of the Oni or the hand of the Baal HaBayis. We're speaking about the traskel, the basket that the Oni or the Baal HaBayis are holding. But ask the Gemara, Kashle l'Rabavua, Miktani traskel shviyadoi? That's not what our Mishnah said. Our Mishnah didn't talk about a basket that they're holding. V'yadoi k'tani. The Mishnah was speaking about the actual hand. So we can't just change the Mishnah so dramatically. El Amar Rabavua, how do we have to explain our Mishnah? We have to explain the Mishnah, Kigan Shilshil Yodoi Lamata Mishloshoi, when the person took the person's hand is within three tefachim of the karka. And everything that's within three tefachim of a property has the din of that property. And therefore, if the Oni's hand is within three tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, it's considered like it's in the Rishus HaRabim. And if the Baal Bais' hand is within three tefachim of the Rishus HaYochid, it's considered like in the Rishus HaYochid. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that he bent down and his hand is so close to the floor? Our Mishnah says, V'aymit k'toni, that he's standing. Answers the Gemara, B'soicha, he's standing bent over. V'bayis Eimer, what it means is he's standing beguma. He's standing in a pit. And since he's standing in a pit, and his hand and is right above the ground, which is within three tfachim of the ground. Vibay Seima, our Mishnah is speaking about a nanas, a midget, who is so short that his hand is always within three tfachim of the ground. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rava, Ich Botana Lashmina Kolhani. It makes no sense to explain that our Mishnah, which is teaching us the fundamental halachas of Aitzah, our Mishnah, which is beginning to teach us Masechta Shabbos, is speaking about a case which has such a difficult way of understanding it, a midget, somebody standing in a pit. All of these are very unusual cases. It doesn't seem to be right to explain that that's what our Mishnah is referring to. El Amarava. So we're back to our original question. How is the hand to be a place for Akira Anocha if it isn't Dalet al Dalet? El Amarava, Yodah Shal Adam Chashuv L'Ka'ar Ba'al Arba. The Gemara says a new Chiddush, that a person's hand has the ability to be considered Dalet al Dalet. Even though it isn't actually Dalet al Dalet. A person's hand is considered like an area of Dalet al Dalet. The simple pshat that the Rambam explains, why indeed is a hand which isn't Dalet al Dalet considered like a Dalet al Dalet? Because a hand has a very unique characteristic. It could grasp something. And before it has that important characteristic that it could grasp, it makes it be considered a Dalet al Dalet. Of course, however, says the Rajba, quoting the Ravid, that doesn't make a hand into a separate Rishus. A hand couldn't be a Karmelus. But a hand that's in the Rishus Rabim, or a hand that's in the Rishus Yochid, has this halacha. Says Tosfos, does that mean that any area that's not Dalet al Dalet, if to me it's significant, it's going to be considered Dalet al Dalet? Says Tosfos, that somebody's machshava cannot make an area into a Dalet al Dalet. Only by a yad, and given the explanation that we just gave, because the yad has this special characteristic that it could grasp something, that's why it could be considered a Dalet al Dalet even when it actually isn't. Other situations, you cannot, we don't say that. Says the Gemara, Amar Avin, Amar Beloy, Amar Beyachan, Zorak Chefetz, if somebody threw a Chefetz for Noch B'yodesh L'Chaveroi, he's Chayiv. Ask them, Amai Kamashmon, what's the Chiddush? That we say, as we've been learning throughout this perek, actually, the Yodah Shalad Mechshuv L'Ka'ar Ba'al Arba. Says the Gemara of Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chada Zimna. Rabbi just taught us this halacha once, now, in explaining the Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Matu Tema, Hani Mil Hechad Da'ach Shvei Li Yodei. When is a hand can be considered Dalet al Dalet? When he's doing it. Aval Hechad Da'ach Shvei Li Yodei. But when he didn't show that significance, where the object knows, if I deposit something into somebody's hand, so I'm showing that that hand has a chshivas to me. But when I throw something, I didn't really show that that hand has a chshivas to me, and therefore aval heichad achshav liyodei, where he didn't do that, maybe you can't just turn a hand into a dalet a maloi. Kamashulon, that a hand is always considered Dalet al Dalet under all circumstances. So we go back to discuss the halacha that we began the shiur with. Amar Avin, Amar Beloy, Amar Yochanan, Amar Bekibel. If somebody threw an object, Dalet Amos under Shus Rabim, and the person who caught it just stood in his place, then the person who threw it would be Chayiv. But if the person who caught it ran towards the object, and we explained at the beginning of the shiur why this is the halacha is his potter, because it didn't land where it was supposed to land, or because it was two people that did the malacha. One did the akira and one did the anocha. Tanya nami hachi, and so do we learn indeed in a brisa. Acherim omrim omrim mekamim mekibel. If the receiver just stood where he was and he caught it, he's chayiv because he didn't participate. If he ran towards the object, then he's potter. Ask the Gemara, Bar Rabbi Yochanan, Zara Chayfetz, if somebody threw an object and he himself nekru m'koymoy, ran v'chaz v'kibloy, and he caught it. Mahu, what will be the halacha? Will the halacha be that he's chayiv because there was an akira and hanocha done by this one individual or not? What's the question? Amar of Adabar Hava, the question to be understood is Shnei Koiches Ba'adam Echad. Two people, two different acts. In other words, and going back to the way we've been learning from the Rambam, if I throw an object and it's supposed to land in a certain space, that's when it's considered that I did that Kirva Anocha. Here, I changed where it was supposed to land. So does that mean that the Kira and the Hanocha are not going to be connected to each other? And if the Kira and the Hanocha are not connected to each other, we don't have here a Maisa Hoitzah. Or, at the end of the day, I did that Kira and I did the Hanocha, and therefore I should be Chayiv. Shnei Koyachis Ba'adam Echa Dami V'Chayiv, Oidom K'shnei B'nei Adam Dami U'Potter, and the Gemara remains with a Teiku. In other words, the way most Rishonim learn, is this considered like Shnaim Shosua or not? The Sfasemis takes this a step further, going back to what we learned in yesterday's shir. Yesterday's shir we discussed how if somebody is going to does an Aveira for which there's a Chi of Skila, is somebody allowed to prevent that from happening? But the focus, as we remember from yesterday's shir, with a second person. Can a second person do something to prevent the first person from doing an Aveira, from doing a serious Aveira? Here, says the Sfasemis, it's me, myself. I threw an object. And if the object lands in its normal course, I'll be chayif ha'itzah, a chayif skila. So if I'm enough of a Talmud Chacham, learning these dafim of the Gemara, and I recognize there's a way for me to prevent it from being an Issa Daraisa, if I will run and catch the object, so the Kira and the Hanocha, as we just explained, may be considered disconnected, and if they're considered disconnected, then I didn't do a Malacha Daraisa, and maybe I should be allowed to do it to prevent myself from having been over an Issa Daraisa. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Oven, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hechnas Yodo L'toy Chatzach Averoi. If somebody extended his hand into somebody else's yard, V'kibel Me'gishamim, and he caught rainwater in his hand, and then he took that rainwater that's in his hand into the Rishus Rabim, his Chayiv. Ask the Gemara, of course he's Chayiv. Mali Hitina Chaveroi. Why should there be a difference if you took it, if somebody put something into my hand and then I took it out? Or if it got onto my hand because the rain fell from the sky onto my hand. In both of these cases, I didn't do the akira. The other person did the akira. Says the Gemara, you're right. If I didn't do the akira, as we keep on repeating, because it came down without me making the akira, I cannot be chayiv from Malacha Daraisa V'Tzah. We're referring here to a situation with Kolat. He collected the rainwater. What it means is, says Rashi, I slapped, so to speak, the rainwater with one hand onto the other hand. Ask the Gemara, but by doing so, V'abinin Akira Magaba Makam Arba, haven't we been learning in our shir that to be considered a Maisa Akira, it has to be you lifted it from a place that's Dalat Tfachim. And here, by slapping it onto my hand from the ear, it's not an akira from a makom dalid. Answers the Gemara, Am Rav Chia b'reid Rav Huna, kigon shekolot me'al gaba koisel. It was running down the wall, and then I slapped it, so to speak, off the wall onto my hand. Says the Ritva, it doesn't mean that it was on the top of the wall. Because if the rain water had gathered on the top of the wall, and then I sort of deflected from the top of the wall onto my hand, that would be a real Akira, and there would be no Chiddush in this whole piece of Gemara. It must be I deflected it from the vertical part of the wall. And the Gemara's question is, that still isn't considered a makom of an Akira. Because now the Gemara teaches us a new halacha. There are two halachas we're learning. The first halacha is that to be considered an Akira, it has to be an Akira from a place which is Dalat Tfachim or Dalat Tfachim. But now we learn a new concept, and that is that it has to be Noch. Something to be considered an Akira means it was Noch, it was resting, and then an Akira was performed when it was lifted up from its status of rest. But if it's on the wall, it's not in the status of Noch. And if it's not in the status of Noch, it can't be considered afterwards when you take it from there, a Maisa Akira. Answers the Gemara, as Rava said elsewhere, we're going to learn in a moment, we're referring to a wall that's on a slant, and therefore the water that's gathered on a wall that's on a slant, that is considered that you could do a Maisa Akira from such an area. So now we'll have all the conditions met. It's considered Noch when it's on a slanted wall, and it's also considered that when you take it from there, that you did an Akira from a place that's Dalet al Dalet. Ask the Gemara, Hechadet Medrava, where was Rava's halacha stated? Ahoda Tanan, regarding the following Mishnah. It says, Hayikar b'sefer al skupa. In the time of Chazal, all Sfarim were written like a scroll, like a Sefer Torah. So somebody is sitting on a door, and the Sefer Torah that he's reading rolled down. Niskalka Sefer Miyodai. The halacha is Gololoi Etzloi. He could retrieve it. Why? Because the top of this doorway is considered a Carmelus. And since the top of the doorway is considered a Carmelus, and it didn't go down all the way to the floor, so it's not considered like I'm carrying from a Shusha Rabbim to a Carmelus. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, normally we would not allow you to pull back under any circumstances. But because it's a Sefer, we were a little more lenient. That's by a Carmelus. However, Hayikai B'Rosh Hashagag, if somebody is sitting on the top of a building, the top of the building is obviously a Rishus HaYochid. When it's Galgal Sefer Miyada, and then the same story with a Sefer rolled out of your hand, Achal Gila Sar Tfachim, if it isn't within 10 Tfachim of the ground, so it hasn't yet hit the Rishus HaRabim, Goyle Loi Etzloi, you could retrieve it. Mishigil Lasar Tfachim, but once it's within 10 Tfachim of the ground, so now it's in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, Havchoy Al Ksav, because it's a Sefer, you have to turn it over. From here we learn the halacha of how a sefer must be treated always with the greatest respect. What I mean to say is, you can never leave a sefer uncovered. And this is the raya, that you can't leave a sefer uncovered, because even though I can't retrieve the sefer, because there's a question of Hilchos Shabbos, but I still have to worry about the honor and the respect that I have to show to the sefer. And in fact, I saw that There's a shed that's called Shindalid. It stands for Shomer Dafim. A person who's careful to properly protect the Dafim, the pages of the Sfarim which he learns from, the shade can't do anything to him. But otherwise, he has to be very concerned. Moreover, the Bach says that you shouldn't leave the Sefer uncovered, even for a short amount of time. And number two, when you cover the Sefer, you have to cover, says the Sefer Ginzei Kodesh, You have to cover the entire sefer, not just putting something over part of the sefer. So back to our Gemara, Vavinabo, and trying to understand that Gemara, we asked, Amai Haib Chal Ksav, why do you have to turn it over? Holoi Noch, the sefer never came to a Hanocha in the Rishos HaRabim. And if it never came to a Hanocha in the Rishos HaRabim, so there's never going to be a Malachas HaTzah, because you can't do a Malachas HaTzah without an Akira first. And we explained a moment ago, an Akira, by definition, could only be done from a status of Noch. Says Rav, I'll tell you why there was a status of Noch. It's talking about the Kaisel Meshuppa, a slanty wall, and the Sefer was resting on that Sefer, on that slanty wall. So Tosfos points out that we were more lenient when you were sitting on a Carmelis, but even by a Carmelis, we're not going to be lenient unless the Sefer is still in your hand. Because we're machmer even by a Carmelis, and furthermore, says Tosfos, we're so machmer, that's only because it's a Sefer, which we're learning now. That's why if it's still in your hand, and it's a Carmelis, so you never could come to Malacha D'Raisa, we're a little more lenient. If it wasn't a Sefer, we wouldn't be lenient. What is the definition of a Kaisel Meshuppa? Tosfos says that since many people who walk under Rishus HaRabim leave their items or rest on that wall, that makes that wall have the status of Rishus HaRabim. The Ramban is more lenient. I don't know if more lenient. The Ramban has a different definition. The Ramban says as long as that's a wall that's next to the Rishus HaRabim, that and it's slanted, makes it into a Rishus HaRabim. Ask the Gemara, Eimad Amar Rava, when did Rava say that a slanty wall could be considered a place where something could be considered noch? By a sefer, David Anaych, a sefer can indeed come to rest on a slanty wall. However, Maya Miavida Denaychi, the water ever come to rest, that we could say the water that was rolling down a slanty wall should be considered that they are in the status of noch? Ella, so we have to go back to our original question. Ella Marava, Kigon Shikolami Al Gabaguma. The person who was taking the rainwater collected it from the top of a hole. Ask the Gemara, if somebody collected water from the top of a hole from one hand into the other hand, of course, Guma Pshita, that's considered a full-fledged Maisa Akira. Answers the Gemara, Madu Teima Mayim Al Gaba Mayim Lava Nochahu. When water is on top of water, it's not considered as if it's in a status of rest. Kamash Malon, that water on top of water is also considered to be in a status of rest. Vaz the Ravel Tameh, and Rav is really following his opinion that he said elsewhere. Dama Rava Mayim Al Gaba Mayim, water on top of water is considered as if it's in rest. Hainu Anachosim. However, says Rava, Ego is Al Gaba Mayim, if you have a nut floating on top of water, that's not considered as if it's in a status of rest because it's constantly moving with the water. And therefore, if it's not in a status of rest, you can't have an Akira only from a place where, as we said before, where it was at a status of rest. To which Boy Rava asks Rava, Eggers Bekeli, you have a knot in a Keli, Uklit Sofal Gabimayim, and that Keli, the vessel, is floating on the water. How do I look at this? Asks Rava. Basa Egas is leaning. Do I look at the knot? Where is the knot? The knot is in the Keli. And the knot, therefore, should be considered in a status of Nayach. Or do we look, Basa Keli as leaning? Do we look at the Keli? And the Keli is floating on top of the water. V'loi noch, v'loi Nayach. And therefore, it's not considered in a status of rest. And the Gemara remains with a teku. The Machloikis, how to understand, Machloikis Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. Some explain that the Gemara is referring that you picked up or put down the knot into that Keli. And now the question is, since the Keli is not in the status of Noch, but the egois in the keli can be considered noch. Is that considered I did akira anocha? Others explain where I picked up the keli with the knot in it. So for the keli, I'm not going to be chayif for the maisa akira, as we just said, because the keli is floating. But will be considered a maisa akira because I picked up the egois, and the egois was in a status of noch. That's the Riven's way of explaining the Gemara. Says the Gemara, similar situation. Shemesh etzofa gabi yayin. You have wine and oil on top of it. And as of course, as all the Rishonim explained, the same halacha would be by oil and water. We'll see why specifically the Gemara chose to speak about oil and wine. Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Rabbanan. We find the machlokes in such a situation between Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Rabbanan. The Tanan. Shemesh etzofa gabi yayin. Oil that's floating on top of wine. V'nagot tful yoyim b'shemen. The halacha is that if somebody is tamei, he, of course, cannot touch truma and make the truma tamei. There's this new halacha that if somebody was tamei and he went to the mikveh, he's considered a tful yoyim. That means a person who went to the mikveh that day will make a tamei. The halacha went, it still has some residual tumah. What does it mean as residual tumah? That if he touches truma, that truma will become posel, will also be considered tamei. But as we've discussed in previous shiurim, when we speak about hilchas tuma, there's an important wording. Posel means it's tamei, but it can't pass the tuma further. Tamei means it's tamei, and it could pass the tuma even further. Says the Gemara, the tful yoyim who touches truma makes that truma posel, but it doesn't make it that it could pass on further. So says the tful yoyim touched that oil, the truma oil, that's floating on truma wine. And now we understand why we're talking about wine, because water can't be truma. V'nagot tful yoyim b'shemen, and the tful yoyim touched that oil, l'posel el shemen b'vad, because the oil and the wine, according to the Tanakam, according to Rabbanan, are considered two separate entities. Rav Yoach Menuri Amri, shneim, Mechubarim Zalazah, they consider one entity. So what do we see from here? The Rabbanan will hold oil floating on wine is like a nut floating on water, two separate entities, and the other one will consider it one entity. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rav Oven, Amar Rav Beloy, Amar Rav Yochanan. Hayatan Oichla Mashkin. Somebody was carrying food and drink. V'nichnas Kal Yotzik Yom Kuloy. Somebody is wearing food, wearing something, carrying something, he walks the whole day, and a chayiv at shiyamid. He's not chayiv until he comes to rest. He has to stop. When he stops, then he intends to start walking again. That's what's considered a maisa akira. A maisa akira means that he intended to do a maisa of akira and then continue. But if he didn't tend to do a maisa akira, that means the person was walking in his house and he never stopped. He just kept on walking in and out of his house. He never stopped. There was never a maisa akira. And if he walked outside without the intention to walk outside, that isn't considered that he did a maisa akira that he should be chai for. Om Rabaya, to this comments Abaya, Vusham and Lofish. When is it considered that you stopped? If you stopped to rest, but if you stopped just to adjust whatever you're carrying, that isn't considered that you stopped. Mimai, ask them from where do we learn this? Midah Mamar, somebody, we learned regarding somebody who's carrying an object, Dalat Amos and Shusarabim. Toich Abba Amos, and he didn't walk the whole four Amos. Why? Because he stopped in the middle. The halacha is as follows. Omid Lofush, if he stopped to rest, it's considered as if he stopped. And if he stopped before he walked the full four Amos, it's not considered that he walked Dalat Amos carrying Rosh Hashanah. Lekatif, but if he stopped to adjust his baggage, the package, so it's not considered as if he stopped. And therefore he's chayif. On the contrary, Chutz Lab Amos, he walked for Dalat Amos, and then he stopped to rest. That means he carried Dalat Amos and stopped. So he had an akira and a noch and he's chayif. But if he stopped after the Dalat Amos just to adjust his package, it's not considered as if he stopped. And if he didn't stop, there's no anocha. And if there's no anocha, there is no melacha. Ask the Gemara. My kamashma, what has Rava taught? What has Rabbi Yochanan tried to teach us with this halacha? That if a person lifted an object without intending to carry it out, and then he decides to carry it out, he's not chayiv. Because the Torah tells us when we talk about melacha on Shabbos, melechas machsheves asur Torah. It has to be done a melacha with intent. And here, there was no intent to walk out. Ask the Gemara, Hamar Rabbi Yochanan Chad Zimna. Rabbi Yochanan already taught us that once. Dama Rav Safar Amar Avi Ami Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hamava Chafetzim Ezovus Lozovus. Somebody's carrying different items in his house without intention of carrying them outside. And then, V'nimel Chaleim V'etzin, and then he decides to take him out, Potter. Why? Because when he picked up the package, I picked up something to carry it from one room in my house to another room in my house, which, as we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, is not considered a Maisa, is not considered Osir at all in Shabbos. And then I decided to carry it out. That isn't considered Yechayiv, because I didn't have that Kira Mishor Rishon Lekach. So we already learned that's not considered a Maisa Hutzah. Answers the Gemara, you're right. That halacha teaches the exact same concept. There's Amaroyim in the new. There were just different Amaroyim that taught us this lesson. Mar Amalaba Hailishna. Rav Ali repeated it this way. Mar Amalaba Hailishna. Rav Ami taught it to us that way, the way they heard it from the Rebbe. But there's really no Chiddush in either of them. The question is, Lofush to rest, we know means a full-fledged stop. Lakatif, to adjust your baggage, is considered not a stop. What about a different situation? Says the Chazon Ish that everything is considered in the same category of lofush, not only if you stop for rest. Why did the Gemara choose lofush? Says the Chazon Ish, because we would think that lofush, why am I resting? That lofush maybe should be considered like lakatif. Because why am I resting? Because I want to be able to walk. Kamashman, the lofush is not lakatif. But anything else is certainly considered a full-fledged stop. Says the Ran, that even though we're saying that if it's lakatif, it's not considered a stop, but if you took it off, even though the reason you took it off yourself was for the purpose of just adjusting, but if you put it down on the ground, that's already considered a maisa hanocha under all circumstances. There's a machlokes rishonim. Here we're learning that you have to have a kira mishor rishonim lakach, that you intended when you picked it up to carry it outside. And therefore, as we just learned, if your intention was to keep it indoors, and then while you already had it in your hands, you decided to go outside, it's not considered a Maisa Akira. But there are Rishonim that say that's only regarding the Malacha of Aitzah. But regarding the Halacha of carrying Dalet Amos or Shus Rabim, there, let's say I picked it up without the intention of walking Dalet Amos, and then I walk Dalet Amos carrying that object, I'll be Chayiv. Because it's special Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai to the special Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai that you're always chayiv for Mavid Dalet Amos Shus Rabim, even if it wasn't your intention from the beginning. There's another interesting question. We're learning very clearly in the Gemara. Reb Nachum Zemba discusses this question in the Sefer Tetzaras Chaim. We're learning very clearly in our Gemara that in order to be chayiv for Hitzah, you have to have that it was that the Mishor Rishonah Lekach, that was his intention from the beginning. Discusses Reb Nachum Zemba in his Sefer, what would be the halacha if he had intention to do an Akira, but he didn't have an intention to do a Hanocha? Will he be chayiv or not? And really goes back to a question that we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. How do we look at Akira and Anocha? Do we look at Akira and Anocha as two parts of the Malacha? And without both parts, you don't have the melacha. Or they're just conditions. And maybe that wouldn't be the answer to that question. So we discussed here that Omer Lofush is considered a full-fledged stop. Omer Lekatev is not considered a full-fledged stop. This halacha has very serious ramifications to a question that could come up on Shabbos. Somebody's walking on Shabbos and he recognizes that he's by accident carrying something. What should he do? So the halacha is that he should walk back to the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, never stop. And the halacha is, as we're learning, that without a hanocha in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's not considered a melechas haitzah. This is obviously only a good recommendation if he didn't stop in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But if he was standing still in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then, and it was an Oymed Lofush, then he'll be doing a new Akira when he starts to walk again. Unless his stop was only Lekatif. And as we quoted the Chazon Ish, and really it's the opinion of Mishnah Berurah as well, any stop is considered Oymed Lofush. The Chasfas Emes, however, disagrees, and he says that if one stops voluntarily, that is considered Oymed Lekasif, a big chiddush, and therefore it's not considered a Maisa Hanocha. So even though, let's say you stopped because of a red light or because a car was coming, so according to the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish, that will already be considered a mice, Oymed Lofish, and be considered that you stopped, and you'll have to now figure out what to do with what you're carrying. Best would be to, as I said, to continue walking. But if you can't continue walking, you have now a situation that you were Michal Shabbos. You should try to keep on walking at least till you find a Mokum Patur, or another Eitzah is to throw it off with a Shinui. And if you throw it off with a Shinui, that's not considered a Maisa Hanocha. According to the Sfas Emes, if you stop because of a red light or because of traffic, that's still considered Oymel Katif, and therefore you could keep on walking back to Rosh Hashanah Yochid.